Yeah, we got here. The wind didn't blow us away. You know what I mean? Anyway, welcome to our Wednesday night service. Go ahead and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're, of course, in our Proverbs series. And tonight we're talking about friendship and what exactly Proverbs says about friendship. And so if I was to ask you what your definition of friendship is, what would you say? There are many different ones, and I wrote down a few that I thought really encompassed it. Aristotle said this. He said, friendship is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. I like that. Henry D'Urberville said, a friend is the person who comes in when the whole world goes out. I think I like that one the best. Jeremy Taylor said this. He said, by friendship, you mean the greatest love, the greatest usefulness, the most open communication, the noblest sufferings, the severest truth, the heartiest counsel, and the greatest union of minds of which brave men and women are capable. Very nice. A recent sociologist actually said this regarding friendship just a few years ago. He said, in a world where friend has become a verb, and many people can be friended online who might not actually be friends offline, and are instead acquaintances, colleagues, professional contacts, and even strangers, there is a greater sense of ambiguity over what counts as a friend in the first place. And that's very true. We have seen a definition of friendship that the world tried to change it. But the simple fact is that who created friendship? God. And listen, friendship is a gift from the Lord. And if we want to be a good friend, and if we want to have friends, it's important that we understand exactly what God's word says regarding friendship. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so there are a few words that are used often in the Hebrew language that are translated in three different ways. And I want to read just a couple of them. The words friend, companion, and neighbor are all from the same six Hebrew words, okay? And it's important for us to see that because the most common Hebrew word for friend, which is rea, is translated 42 times in the Old Testament as friend, but it's also translated 104 times as neighbor. So it's important we really see what God is saying when he talks about friendship, because it encompasses quite a bit. And in Proverbs, the term or the word rea, which means friend, is translated 13 times as friend and 19 times as neighbor. So in the book of Proverbs, a friend can be these things. It can be someone you love, someone you depend upon, associate with, work with, or someone that you just live close to. So the point is, Proverbs has a lot to say about friends. Amen? There's a lot to say. So let's look in Ecclesiastes 4 and go to verse 9. Same author of Proverbs, we have King Solomon, and he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, many people think this is actually talking about having two friends, but what it's actually saying is when you and your friends, a total of two people, you together are stronger than a threefold cord, and that's something that's not easily broken. Let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the word that you've given us this evening. And this is the climax of our week, Lord. We get to shake off work and all everything that's happened from Monday and Tuesday and leave that all aside and come and worship you. So we just invite you in your house in a special way, expecting you to move, expecting your word to correct us as well as encourage us. Lord, we want to be a good friend, but we want to understand what your word says about friendship. And I thank you for the friend that you are to us. I thank you that you've left instructions for us while we are here so we can bring glory to you in the way that we love and treat our friends. So help us this evening, Father God, to see exactly what kind of friend you truly want us to be while we're here on the earth to serve you. So it's in Jesus' name that we thank you and we praise you. God's people say, amen. Amen. So friendship, of course, as I said, is something very special. It's something extremely special to me. You know, I don't have a ton of friends, but the ones that I have are extremely dear to me. And they're definitely a gift from the Lord. And what's neat is in the book of Proverbs, we find basic principles. Some of them are really simple and some of them are a little more heavy. But we find basic principles regarding friendship. So if you're a note taker, number one, friendship is an investment. Friendship is an investment. And I think that that's important for us to see. In Proverbs 14:20, it says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." It goes on in 19:4 to say, "Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend." Now, I don't think the point of the proverb is saying that money buys friends, although it does say that wealth makes many friends. But remember, we're dealing with Hebrew poetry. And sometimes the word poor doesn't mean that they are poor monetarily, but they're actually poor in their giving in the sense of they're stingy. And they're critical of others when they give. Have you ever met anybody like that? Yeah, okay, they have an issue with it. And so Proverbs 19:6-7 says, "Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend of one who gives gifts." Like I said, it's an investment. But it goes on to say, "All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him." So the idea here is even you have a friend and they have a financial need and you just give them words. This is exactly what 1 John 3:17 through 18 says. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And then it says this, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Very important that we see that, and that friendship is truly an investment. James 2:15, we know this one through 16, says the same thing. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Well, nothing, right? So listen, Christians should be generous to one another, and it should be a joy. And of course, this always has to be directed by the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not saying just go give away all your money. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that Christians should be generous, and it should put a joy in your heart to be able to help a brother or sister in need. It's not patting yourself on the back, but it's like, man, God, you know, used me, and I got to help someone monetarily, whether it's a few dollars or a few thousand. That's not the point. But it's the point that it's a joy. It's a joy to be able to give because friendship is an investment. Jesus himself said this in Luke 16:9. He said, "I say to you, make friends for yourselves." And he tells us how. "By unrighteous mammon." By unrighteous money. And it says this, "That when you fail," or it fails, "they may receive you into everlasting home," or into everlasting habitations. Now, Jesus isn't saying that money is sinful, right? Because we know money is immoral. It has no moral character, right? It takes on the personality of the person who has it. But he is saying that friendship is an investment. And not only that, those people that you did bless, they're going to remember. They're going to remember that. When you get home to be with the Lord, they're going to remember how you helped them. Isn't that neat? I wonder if they're going to remember the ones that don't. No, I don't think so. I don't think the contrast is true. But the truth is we all need friends in our lives. Some of us think that we don't, but Proverbs 18:1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." I like this one. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 18:24 is an interesting verse. I remember way back in seminary, my Hebrew professor actually bringing this one up because there's a lot of debate over it. There's only three words in the first part of this verse, and all it says is, "Many friends ruin, but there is a friend," singular, "who sticks closer than a brother." Now, some people equate this to Jesus, but I think that's probably a little less than what Jesus really is here. What's interesting here is Proverbs is telling us that there is a limit to how many close friends we can have. And I can sit up here and tell you what sociologists say and books and different things like that. But they usually always say you're never going to have more than 10 close friends. I mean, truly close friends. And actually, a lot of them are saying 2 to 3. Sometimes people who are in sales may have 1,000 acquaintances in their life. They may be able to recall addresses and birthdays and, you know, maybe the last car they bought if you're in car sales. They can do that with many. But true, intimate friends, listen, maybe 2 or 3. And even if you have one, and just one, that's a huge blessing from the Lord. Because friends are very rare that are true biblical friends. But another thing about friendship, Proverbs 22:11, teaches us that friends are actually kind. That's important. If we want to be friends with somebody and be a good friend, we need to be kind and also sincere. It says in 22:11, he who loves purity of heart. What is purity of heart? It's sincerity. It's sincerity. It means you're real, you're genuine. So he who loves purity of heart, and it says, and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. See, that's the kind of friend we should all strive to be, because a true friend has purity of heart. Well, if you have purity of heart, you don't have an agenda. You just love that person. You're not trying to get anything out of them. You just want to be their friend. You love them. You want the best for them. And when it says you have grace on your lips, so that means you speak in a way that is in kindness. It's tender. Remember, acting in even wisdom involves prudence, which is discernment, but wisdom goes after the heart, and it's what? It's gentle. It's gentle. It doesn't want to just beat somebody down. You want to build people up. So those are the principles that we see from friendship, but it's really interesting is the biblical instructions for friendship. And some of them really surprise me. You know, the Bible tells us to love our friends. Isn't that interesting? It has to tell us to love our friends. Bible tells us to love our wives too, right? But our Bible actually has to tell us to love our friends. Think about that. Because love is a verb. It's not just something we do and say. But in the Old Testament and the New alike, it tells us to love our friends. And Jesus said this in Matthew 19:19. He said, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor. This is the same Hebrew word as friend. You shall love your friend as yourself. Well, how much do we love them? As much as we love ourselves. Don't say you hate yourself. Sometimes people say that to me, and I take them to Ephesians 5:29 that says, for no one ever hated his own flesh. We don't hate ourselves. We take care of ourselves, right? We feed ourselves. Most of you look like you've showered and gotten ready for the day, right? I mean, come on, it's okay. We can laugh, you know. Man, it's a tough crowd today. We take care of ourselves, right? We're good to ourselves. And God says, listen, Jesus says, that's the exact same way you need to be to your brothers and sisters. That's how we are to be to our friends. That's so important. Even when a lawyer came to Jesus, asking him what the greatest commandment was of the law, in Matthew 22, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. It's the same word. You shall love your friend as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the first instruction that we see from God's word involving friendship is to love your friends. Don't forget that. Love your friends. Number two is don't forsake them in a time of need. This is a real easy way to figure out who your friends are is when you go through a hard time, isn't it? But Proverbs 27:10 says, don't forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor to go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So like I said, you go through a hard time or you go through a crisis, reveals quickly who your friends are. But part of friendship is truly being there for your friends in a time of need. I mean, they're there. And, it reminds me of when I was sick in 2019 in ICU. There were a couple of nights I nearly didn't make it. And I had just an outpouring of friends there for me. Because, you know, when you're sick and you're that sick, you can't do anything for yourself. One friend took care of my dog. One friend called the nurse's station and doctor twice a day, every day, fellow priest. One friend came every single day to check on me. Just cleaning my glasses, just simple things. But see, that's what friendship is. It doesn't matter if times are good or times are bad. Listen, they're there because they love you and they care about you. So listen, don't ever, ever neglect your friends in a time of need. We drop whatever you're doing because I tell you, it's not more important than when your brother or sister needs you. And we want to be there for them. Now, this one's a very important one, and it gets touchy with some people, but be wise choosing your friends. Yes. Be wise choosing your friends. This is a hard one, especially if you're lonely and you know you want a good brother or sister in Christ to hang out with and fellowship with. But Proverbs 12:26 says the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Why? For the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know, no matter how close you are to God, no matter the amount of time that you are spending in his word, no matter how often you are in church, listen, bad companionship corrupts good morals or manners. Yes. That's what it says in God's word. And they will always, wicked friends will always turn your heart away from the Lord. They always will. You know, when you lose your ability, like I've said before, to boldly proclaim Jesus with the lost, that's your cue. That's when you say, okay, it's time for me to go. Your job is done there. Our conversation with the world, when we're present with it, it needs to revolve around what? Well, around Jesus, right? And anything else, we need to stay away from, not because we're better, but because we love God's word and we believe what he says. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Man, that's powerful. It says in 16:28 through 29, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in the way that is not good. This seems to happen often in the area of teenagers, doesn't it? In the young. And I've seen so many over the years. I mean, good kids come from wonderful families and they love the Lord. But because of the friends that they allowed in their life, some of them ended up dead. Others ended up pregnant, alone, some homeless. Some still addicted to drugs that I know. And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. We have to be so wise about choosing who we hang out with, who we fellowship. Love everybody. Always walk in love. But listen, you have to separate yourself from the world. Yes. You know, James is clear. We can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. It doesn't work that way. There's no middle ground. Remember that. Number four, when we're talking about instructions for friendship, don't look down upon your friends. I know this seems obvious, but it's so important. Don't look down upon your friends. Proverbs 14:20 through 21 says this, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor or friend, but the rich man has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins. See, despise means to look down upon. He who despises his neighbor or friend sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. So any attitude of condescension doesn't just hurt our friendship, doesn't just make us a bad friend, it's actually a sin, and it grieves the Lord. You know, it's only by grace that we are where we are, you know? I mean, listen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We, without God's righteousness, we couldn't even have a standing before the Lord. You know, so it's just, we have to recognize that, how good God is. And when people say, man, what is that in you? You tell them you're the clay pot, you're the earthen vessel, and anything good is Jesus. And you point them to Jesus every time. You say, listen, I'll fail you, I will let you down, I'll hurt your feelings. But I can tell you who I know who will never let you down, who sent his son to die for you because of his love for you, who already paid for your sin. You see, we always have to point the lost, and even our brothers and sisters, anyone we encounter, to the Lord. Amen? So important. Number five, when we're talking about instructions to friends, and this one's an important one, don't betray their confidence. Don't betray their confidence. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now, many of us know an area, especially if we've been friends with someone for a while, we know an area where they've just failed miserably. Maybe they've gotten into sin, or maybe they blew it. But see, a friend never divulges the things shared in confidence. That doesn't mean it will help you hide a body, okay? Let's look at this, okay? When it says transgression, this is not, well, you know, I just murdered my friend. Can you help me, Thomas? I'm calling the police, okay? I'm just telling you right now if you show up to my house. But seriously, you know, all of us fall. And when you are friends with somebody, they know you, don't they? And they may know an area where you blew it. And what you don't do is ever repeat it. That's how you love your friend. You don't ever break that confidence because you know you've fallen too, and you never want to do anything to hurt that person because you love them. And so it's so important that we don't betray the confidence of our friends, because that's a way to lose a friend real quick, real quick. Another one is don't accuse your friends without cause. Man, I've done this before. It says in Proverbs 24, 28 through 29, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause. For would you deceive with your lips? Don't say, I will do to him just as he's done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I like this one from 25:18. It says, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. So accusing your friend, loved one, without finding the rest of the story, that's a quick way to kill a friendship fast, amen? This one seems obvious, but I feel like I need to say it. Don't overstay your welcome. And if you're in college, don't be the guy on the couch, okay? Go back home. You have a place to stay. Proverbs 25:17 says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you, okay? So don't take advantage of the hospitality and the kindness of your friends, okay? If you show up every day at their home, especially unannounced, you probably will not have a friend by the end of the week. Here's a touchy one. People don't always like this one. From Proverbs 6:1-5, don't guarantee your friend's debts. It says, my son, if you become surety for your friend, you become a guarantee. If you've shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you were snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Be careful, loved one, when it comes to debt and co-signing and borrowing and friendship. I've seen a lot of friendships destroyed like that. You know, if you want to bless someone and God leads you to do it, just give it to him. Just give it to him. And if you receive that gift, you pay him back, even if they don't want to. A Christian should always pay their debts. A lot of times the people who bless you just want to see the integrity in your own life. They don't even want the money. But if we are going, if we are led by the Lord to give somebody something, man, do what the Israelites did. Don't charge interest. That's not how to do it. But it's so much better just to give than to receive. Yes. And in my life of seeing money go back and forth between a lot of hands, it's always better to give than to receive. But if you have received, man, pay back your debt. You're an ambassador of Christ. You represent the Lord. And that's so important. We need to be people that pay back our debts. It says in Proverbs 17, a man devoid of understanding shakes his hand in a pledge. It becomes surety for his friend. So that's an easy way to bring destruction to a friend. And then this last part is what I call the five keys to true biblical friendship. And I've already had an offer for $1 a key. We have $5 a key anywhere? No, I'm just joking. No, but seriously, there's five things, and they're just one word each, but there's five things that will be present in your life if you are a true friend, if true friendship is part of your life. Proverbs 27:19 says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. That actually means counsel of the heart or counsel of the soul. So true friendship involves counsel. It involves counsel. And friendship is a whole lot more than just going out to eat with somebody or hanging out with them on the weekends. Because a true friend will encourage you to be more effective in your walk with the Lord. You see, they love you and they want the best for you in your life. And so you will have counsel in true friendship. That's why Proverbs 27:17 says what? As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So remember, true friendship will involve counsel, encouraging counsel, but it also involves confrontation. It involves confrontation. And this is a hard part about being a friend when you have to confront them about something, but it really does show the love that we have. It says in 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So one of the hardest ways, guys, to show your love for a friend, isn't it when you have to confront him and correct him? I mean, it grieves your heart. You don't even want to do it. You don't want to do anything that hurts your friends. But sometimes we do have to confront because that's part of true friendship. But it's key to remember that this is always done in love. It's never done in anger. It's not done in a demeaning way. But you go to them humbly and you say, man, can I talk to you about something? Why? Because you love them. You don't want to see anything in their life hinder them from being close to the Lord. It says in Proverbs 27, 5 through 6, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So sometimes you have to wound your friend. You don't want to. You don't want to hurt them, but sometimes confronting them does wound them. But remember, if you're counseling, that involves encouragement, okay? If we're confronting someone, that involves correction. But the key to remember in both of these things is that they're done in love. Whether you're counseling or confronting, they are both done in God's love. So, so important. But you will see that in true friendship. Because true friends, man, they'll tell you the things that no one else will. Amen? You know, true friends will say things like, would you like an Altoid? You know, I mean, they'll tell you the hard stuff. You know what I mean? Are you going to wear that tonight? I mean, they'll be honest with you. Why? Well, because they're your friend. You know, they'll, like I said, they'll tell you these things. I went to see a friend a while back, and I was in work clothes, not work clothes, you know, work outside. He said, you don't wear that to preach, do you? I said, no, I don't wear that to preach, but if I did, they wouldn't care. Isn't that great? That's a good church right there. I don't have to wear a robe or anything. It would make choosing outfits easier if we had one of those robes, you know. But hot in the summer, praise God. Listen, true friendship, it also involves closeness. It involves closeness. This is hard for some people. Some people have been so hurt in this life, they're afraid to get close to people. Every time they have, they've gotten hurt. But true friendship does involve closeness. It says in 1824, I read it earlier, a man who has many friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now remember I said the first part of this verse actually just says many friends ruin, right? So there's a limit to how many true, close, intimate friends we can have. But true friendship will always include closeness. It'll always be there because closeness means you have a freedom with that individual, with your friend, to share anything. Anything you want, anything that's on your heart or your mind, and you know something, you know that there will be no judgment. There's not going to be any judgment from you. You're going to have a listening ear because, see, when you have closeness with your friend, you don't hide from them. You don't hide from them. You tell them what's going on in your life. There's an openness and there's a safety that you feel with them because why? Well, because they're not going to judge you. There's a closeness that you have in your friendship. And that's so important that we have that openness, that transparency, and that honesty, because that is part of true friendship. True friendship also includes compassion. Compassion. This is an important one. In Luke 10, when Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? Remember, he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember the priest and the Levite passed by? They were just leaving church, right? And they saw the man that was beaten and fell among thieves, and they just kept going, right? They passed by. But Jesus said, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Remember, true friendship involves compassion. It says, so he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor or friend to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said what? Go and do likewise, right? So true friendship involves compassion. You care about the person. It's love in action. You don't just sit idly by when there's issues or there are problems, but they're on your heart. They're someone that you pray for, you're there for, and they know that too. You know, I can feel when my friends and loved ones pray for me. Can't you? I mean, it's just obvious, and the Lord sends that encouragement. But that's so important that we have that compassion in our friends, especially in our brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, one of my favorite True friendship includes consistency. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 17:17, and it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." You see, true friends are never short term. They're not. They are always going to be there for you in a time of need and crisis. It doesn't matter if things are good or things are bad. A true friend is consistent. They are consistent. It doesn't matter if you're angry or if you're sad or if you're depressed or you're happy. Your friend is consistent. Why? Because a friend loves at all times. And there's nothing better than having a friend that has that consistency. You know you can count on them. You know that, man, if you call them and you say, "Hey, listen, I need help. I'm in China," they're going to drop everything and fly there. You know, I have friends like that. I'm serious. Why? Because they're consistent. And they know that I would never call them unless I really needed something. But that's what friendship is. And, you know, and you look at this and you look at everything that Proverbs says a friend is, and you say, wow, that's just like our Savior. It's just like Jesus. I mean, everything that true friendship is, He is to us. And if that doesn't blow you away, man, well, you need prayer after service. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it is. It's just unbelievable, His grace and love and His mercy that holds back for what we really do deserve. Because He's the best friend we can ever hope for, because He is constant, isn't He? Yes. He's consistent. Yes. Does He confront us? Absolutely. He has, because He loves us, right? He wants what's best for us. And He's closer to us than anyone could ever be. Yes. If you're a Christian, He lives inside us. Yes. I mean, think about that. That I remember an old poem. It said, "Oh, joys of joys, oh, grace of grace, that God should condescend and make my heart His dwelling place and be my nearest and dearest friend." There's something to say about that, about the friend that we truly have in the Lord. And it's hard for me even to say that, because, you know, you feel so inadequate. You know, you look at Abraham being a friend of God, but the truth is, He is a friend to us. Yes. Even when we're not a friend to Him, He loves us and He'll never forsake us. And, you know, He knows everything about us and still loves us. Yes. That's a friend right there. In 1 John 4:12 through 16, as I close, it says this. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And if we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world," it says, "whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God." And I love verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." Hey, I hope you know and believe the love that God has for you this evening. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. Yes. I mean, He loves you, yeah. Even though He knows everything about us. Yes. Think about that. And He still loves you. He still wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Amen. That's unbelievable. And it says this. Why does He do that? Because God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for the gift of friendship. And Lord, I thank you that we know from your word that you truly are more of a friend than we could ever, ever, ever even hope or wish or pray or even dream of. I thank you for the love that you've given us, and more than anything, Lord, just the closeness that we can have to you. Not based on us, but on the righteousness that we've been given so we can have a right standing before you. Thank you for that access that we've been given because of the sacrifice of your Son. Help us, Lord, especially in these perilous times, to not isolate ourselves, but understand that we all need friends. And that you've placed us in this world as believers to be ministers. So Lord, help us to be a true friend by your definition. Help us to receive correction and counsel when we need to from our friends. And Lord, help us through your wisdom to really surround ourselves by people who are running after you, that love you, and that in turn love us and want to see us continue to grow in our relationship with you. So we just thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. Just bless your people. Bless them mightily. in this December month. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?